content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from mostly AARP, the magazine, or the bulletin. Let's start with an article under Upfront, What I Know Now. This is by Angela Bassett. The actor riffs on old and young fans, her teenage twins, and her good guy husband. Discover your gifts. During a high school summer program, I entered a talent show, although I didn't really have a talent. But in the library, I had put on an album of Ruby Dee reciting Langston Hughes' poems, and it was electric, eye-opening. Her voice. I strung the poems together in a theatrical way for the show, and that was my talent. It kicked off my acting career. Ignore doubters. When I started acting, my auntie said, "How will you feed yourself? How will you keep the lights on?" But never mind naysayers. If it's for you, go for it. If you build it. After I graduated from drama school and moved to New York, there wasn't much opportunity. Some soap operas, two television shows, commercials, and only four TV stations. It's more fun now. You get to see the work of so many others, and you can make your own opportunities. When Black Panther 2018 came out, the 97-year-old church ladies were like, "Ah, that was my movie." I had little kids running up to me, hugging my leg, and they loved it too. It's amazing that a work of art can touch so many generations and impact individuals across the world. Good guys. My husband, actor Courtney B. Vance, has many wonderful qualities, but chief among them is that he cares about people. He will listen to you and make sure you are comfortable. He was a very loving son. His mother had ALS, and he took care of her. I hope my children care for me half as well as he did for her. Protect yourself. My mother's diabetes and other underlying chronic conditions led to her death, so I prioritize my health and try to get good information out there, particularly on RSV, respiratory syncytial virus. Every year, 177,000 people are hospitalized because of severe RSV, resulting in about 14,000 deaths. It can affect infants, babies, and the elderly, the vulnerable. It's very contagious, and there is no cure. But the solution is simple: prevention. An older parent. I'm an old mama now to twins, daughter Brownwin and son Slater, 19. It never seemed the perfect time to have a kid. I got married and went straight into How Stella Got Her Groove Back. And then I had all these opportunities. But as a more mature mother, I think I've had a lot more patience. I could see what was happening and be calm, thoughtful, and intentional. Age is irrelevant. I don't allow age to impose limits. Half the time I forget how old I am. Just keep embracing life and know that the best is yet to come. And this was as told to Claire McIntosh and Natasha Stoynoff. Angela Bassett, 67, is an Emmy, Golden Globe, and honorary Oscar winner. She has returned for the 9th season of the ABC series 911. She has also partnered with GSK for the Sideline RSV campaign to educate older adults and their loved ones about the risks of RSV. Now, last time I read an article about natural cures for jangled nerves, and there's a sidebar article with this that I didn't get to, so let's do it now. Friends with side benefits. Relaxation techniques like yoga, meditation, and breath work can reduce recurrent cardiovascular events by 29% and mortality by 34%. That's what I like to call the side benefits of natural treatments. Throughout my new AARP book, Heal Faster, I reveal an array of these unexpected benefits from some of the most common natural remedies. For example, turmeric may save your liver. A turmeric supplement can help ease arthritis discomfort. The side benefits of turmeric may include improvement in non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, GERD, and depression. Flaxseed may enhance cancer treatment. Fresh flaxseed adds fiber and omega-3 fatty acids, but it also contains lignans, which can bind to estrogen receptors and reduce tumor growth. Pilates can treat chronic pain. Pilates exercises strengthen your core, including the muscles around your spine. Side benefits: reduced anxiety and depression. Melatonin and licorice can improve surgical outcomes. Many people use these to help them fall asleep, but these two supplements can also improve comfort after surgery. And finally, garlic can stop a cold. Both fresh pressed garlic and chicken soup have been studied, and they really can boost the immune system's ability to fight infections. Now, also from AARP, the magazine, look at this article under Money Saver. Safe deposit boxes, their secrets unlocked. Down but not out, these miniature storage units aren't always secure. This is by Nicole Pager and Claire Leibowitz. They're plentiful. Although the numbers have declined, the U.S. is home to more than 20 million safe deposit boxes, estimates David McGuinn, president of Safe Deposit Specialist, a consulting firm in Houston. That's more than 200 for every bank and credit union branch in the country. But still can be hard to find. Some major banks, including Chase and Capital One, don't rent safe deposit boxes to new customers. If you are looking for a box larger than the standard 3x5 in larger metropolitan markets, there are a long waiting list, said Jerry Pluard, president of Safe Deposit Box Insurance Coverage in Chicago. Certain documents don't belong there. Important papers in a safe deposit box, for example, medical directives, powers of attorney, and your will, could be inaccessible in a crisis. If your designated executor or agent needs to access those documents, the bank will deny them access if they are not the person who leased the safe deposit box, says Jacqueline Roberson, a senior partner at Roberson Duren Law in San Antonio. Store essential documents elsewhere or consider granting a trusted relative or executor joint access. Boxes aren't 100% safe. About 25,000 per year are hit by natural disasters, accidents, or theft, estimates Pluard. Flood damage is the most common culprit, but human error often plays a role. In 2014, a New Jersey man alleged he lost $10 million worth of rare watches and coins after bank employees emptied out his box, confusing it with that of another customer who had failed to pay her rental fees. Contents aren't FDIC insured. The federal deposit insurance that protects checking and savings accounts is no help if items are stolen, lost, or damaged, and banks sharply limit their liability. The New Jersey watch collector spent 8 years fighting for compensation before his bank settled the case. So, take precautions. You'll have to insure valuables yourself, perhaps with a rider to a homeowner's or renter's policy. One advantage: your insurer may reduce your premium because the items are in a safe deposit box. Before renting one, says McGuinn, ask whether the bank leaves customers in the safe deposit vault by themselves. If they're doing that, don't even think about having a box rented there, he said. Next up is why we told our kids all about our money and why sooner is better than later. When should you tell your children all about your finances? When should you open up about your accounts, your bills, and your estate plans? Is it after an emergency? Is it when you're having trouble managing your paperwork? I'd say the right time to tell them is now, if you haven't done so already. It's never too early. Here's what my husband and I did. One Friday night a year ago, we sat down with our two daughters, Zoe, then 18, and Maya, then 20, to go over all the details of our assets, our long-term care plans, and our wills. By sharing all this with children barely out of high school, I'm guessing we are outliers. Although 89% of high net worth boomers surveyed by RBC Wealth Management in 2024 said it was important to tell heirs about their inheritances. Fewer than 40% had done it. Having such talks can be painful, explains Tim Prosh, author of the AARP book, The Other Talk, A Guide to Talking with Your Adult Children About the Rest of Your Life. That's especially true, he writes, when you come to the part about the various stages of your deterioration. And, of course, the last sentence, the end. But avoidance can leave your children confused, frustrated, and even resentful if they have to handle your finances while flying blind. I had strong motivation for not waiting. My dad died at 61 of a heart attack. That's when I learned he didn't have a will, something that shocked me since he was an attorney. He was on his second marriage and he had children from his first. My mom was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease at 65, and she began to decline cognitively. I had to dig through her files, intercept her mail, and play detective to get the information I needed to manage her money. Also, my husband and I had recently updated our estate planning documents, naming our daughters as our alternate executors for our estates, our health care surrogates, and our agents under power of attorney. We didn't want to saddle our kids with these responsibilities without explaining what the roles entailed. Finally, just days before sitting our kids down to talk, I learned that a high school classmate's wife had died in her sleep. She was only 52. I was 51. My husband was 50. As I see it, these conversations can't wait until parents reach some arbitrary definition of old. Advisors agree the conversation should usually start when the adult children are in their 20s, because accidents may happen to the parents even though the parents may only be in their 40s or 50s, said Daniel Lash, partner at VLP Financial Advisors in Vienna, Virginia. We began by telling our daughters what to do if my husband and I die at the same time, since they would be our co-executors. We told them the value of our life insurance policies, the process for collecting death benefits, and how much we have in our financial accounts of which they are beneficiaries. We said our wills divide everything evenly among them and their brother, Alexander, then 13. We've shared general information with him about our money, but not the details we told his sisters. We also explained how the person designated as Alexander's guardian would manage the money he inherits. Then we told our daughters what they would need to know about our finances if we were unable to manage them on our own because of cognitive decline or another health issue. We listed all the monthly bills we pay and all the accounts we have. We told them that we have enough savings to cover the cost of long-term care and that we don't expect them to provide hands-on care for us. We explained that as our alternate health care surrogates and agents under power of attorney, they will be able to make medical and financial decisions for my husband or me if one of us is no longer around to take care of the other. We showed them where our estate planning documents are located, along with our car titles, house deeds, passports, marriage certificates, and birth certificates. And we put all this information in writing for Maya and Zoe. Including their questions, our conversation lasted more than 2 hours. How to do it? I have some tips for having the talk with your children, based on my work managing my mother's finances and on numerous interviews I've conducted, mostly for the book I write I wrote inspired by that experience. Consider rehearsing what you plan to tell your children and anticipating what questions they might have, suggests John Cooper, senior private client advisor with Greenwood Capital in Greenwood, South Carolina. Don't blindside them. Let them know you want to have a family money talk. If you're uncomfortable revealing as much as my husband and I did, you could start out smaller, say by telling your kids what financial accounts you have without disclosing dollar amounts. Some information is better than no information, says Margarita Cheng, CEO of Blue Ocean Global Health in Gaithersburg, Maryland. The more information you share, though, the better prepared your children will be in case of your death or an emergency. It would be extremely helpful for you to create a list of your assets, accounts, monthly bills, insurance policies, medical information, locations of estate planning documents, and contact information for any financial and legal professionals you work with. You can also use this occasion to talk about the roles you expect your children to play in your care and finances as you age, why you make certain estate planning decisions, and what your final wishes are. Thanks to our professions, my husband and I felt comfortable tackling this on our own. He's an economics professor, and I'm a financial journalist. Our kids have been subjected to discussions about money for years. But if disclosing all of this would be tricky for your family, consider working with a financial or legal professional who can serve as a moderator. You might discover that family money talks aren't so difficult. After my family's talk, I asked my daughters whether their conversation had been depressing. No, they said. The opposite was true. There's not going to be a better time for a conversation like this, Zoe told me. It makes me happy that you care enough about our lives and your lives to do this. This article is by Cameron Huddleston, the author of Mom and Dad, We Need to Talk, How to Have Essential Conversations with Your Parents About Their Finances. And the sidebar article here is entitled Mind the Gap. Financial communication between parents and adult children has room for improvement. 34% of boomers say legal and financial planning is the most relevant later in life conversation topic. But only 14% of those boomers who rank it number one have discussed it with their adult children. 76% of adult children want to know if they are named as a beneficiary, but only 35% of their parents feel a need to tell them. Now, also under Money Saver, we have Jean Chatsky to the rescue, a crucial bit of paperwork. She was owed a monthly pension check, but one important document was missing. The problem. When Tonya Yates split from her husband in the late 1990s, their divorce decree stipulated that she was entitled to a portion of the Ford Motor Company pension benefits that had accrued to him during their 15-year marriage. More than two decades later, Yates, now 66 and a supervisor at a Red Lobster near Cleveland, learned from her children that her ex had retired. So she sent Ford a copy of her divorce decree and asked for her share of his pension. That's when she hit a brick wall. Yates didn't have a QDRO. The advice. If you're wondering, what's a QDRO? You're not alone. A QDRO, pronounced quadro, is a qualified domestic relations order, a legal document that accompanies a divorce decree, like an order for child support. Quadros all allow a pension or balance in an employer-sponsored retirement account, like a 401k, to be split without either spouse having to withdraw money, an action that might incur a tax bill and penalties. Negotiating for a share of retirement funds, as Yates did during her divorce, is incredibly smart, since it can be one of a married couple's most valuable assets. Unfortunately, many people get the paperwork wrong. A divorce decree requiring a quadro should name who has to obtain it, typically the spouse receiving the funds. That person must find a lawyer or specialist to write the quadro at a cost of $500 or more. Next, the court must sign it. The retirement plan administrator has to verify that it complies with plan rules, and both spouses have to sign off on it. Only then can the court approve it. Money in 401ks and similar accounts is divided when the plan processes the approved quadro, an incentive to get it done. But with pensions, payments might not begin for years after the divorce, so people often procrastinate. It's another expense after an exhaustive process, says financial planner Amy Beardsley Irvin. So how can you be sure that you will receive your share of your ex's retirement benefits? If you're divorcing now, have the quadro approved by the court as part of the divorce process. Negotiate for survivor benefits, says Rose Scollard, an attorney with Pro Seniors, a nonprofit that assists older Americans with pension and retirement issues in Ohio. Monthly payments might be smaller than what you would receive if the payments ceased with your spouse's death, but Scollard believes the payoff is worth it, especially for women who are likely to outlive their ex-husbands. If you're already divorced, were you awarded a share of pension benefits but no quadro was completed and approved? You or your lawyers should ask the plan administrator for a summary plan document detailing its specific rules. The nonprofit Pension Rights Center, pensionrights.org, maintains a directory of attorneys experienced in drafting quadros. Find more resources at nonprofit sites qdrocenter.org and proseniors.org. In either case, reach out to the plan administrator annually to tell them that you are due a pension payment based on a quadro. Check that they have a copy of the document and that no payments have started. If there's a problem, sometimes paperwork gets lost when a plan's management changes, go back to the original employer to reconnect the dots. The outcome. With the help of Pro Seniors, Yates Quadro was prepared and she started receiving pension checks of $323 a month. I was a server for 25 or 30 years, making $2.13 an hour, she says. You don't accumulate a lot of Social Security that way. Each check, Yates says, translates to 3 weeks of groceries. I don't know what I would be doing without it. Want Gene Chatsky to write about helping you sort out your financial problems? Email rescue@aarp.org. Now we have an article entitled, When Aging Isn't in Sync, How Do Couples Navigate Growing Older at Different Paces? Neither of us was good on ice skates, so that distant December night was more festive than fun. Sherry clutched my hand to steady herself, but also because that's what couples do under bright lights, cheeks cold and feet pinched by rental skates. More recently, I skated again. This time, Sherry stood outside the rink, unwilling to chance her wonky knee. We anticipated aging out of sync when we married in 1993. After all, she is 17 years older. But for much of our 3 decades together, we skated together. The past couple of years, not so much. Sherry's now 78 and I'm 61. These days, hikes uphill are more readily to take her breath. Her heart drug makes her arms bruise as easily as ripe bananas. We wonder whether she's on the aging elevator while I'm taking the stairs. We're not alone. Even like-aged couples can move differently through time. They wonder, as we do, how best to accommodate each other's pace. Wait, skip ahead, find new ways to walk in step. Reciprocity is central, says Ming Hua, an associate professor at the University of California, Davis. who studies empathy in older adults. She says that being mutually understanding is helpful for couples aging at different paces. About a year and a half ago, with Sherry's encouragement, I retired early from my career as a creative writing professor. We decided the years themselves needed to slow. Now we travel more, exercise more, take more time to identify birdsong. 3 or 4 times over the past couple of years, when we've given ourselves a moment, Sherry has turned to me and spoken a phrase. The words are a kind of charm or spell, a reminder, but also a way of speaking hope into reality. These are the good old days, she said. The author of this, Michael Downs, is the author of 3 books, including most recently the novel The Strange and True Tale of Horace Wells, Surgeon Dentist. Michael lives in Baltimore. Now, with the time we have left, I'm going back to AARP, the bulletin, of an issue that has ways to save money. And actually, we're on number 59, and this is under personal finance. Use a debt payoff calculator. To successfully pay off debt, you'll need a strategy that prioritizes payments, helps you decide what to consolidate, and keeps you informed about your progress. There are numerous online calculators and apps designed to help. Check out calculator.net/debt-payoff, which is free. The Debt Payoff Planner phone app has a free basic version and a version with additional features for $2 a month. Get the best credit card for you. Finding the ideal card depends on your lifestyle and spending habits. Are you looking for cash back, travel points, the lowest interest rate? Go to cardmatch.com or cardrates.com to compare cards. Now let's look at insurance. Let Big Brother ride along. More drivers are allowing their insurers to use technology called telematics to track their driving. They can then qualify for a lower premium that on average saves $120 a year by demonstrating good habits, such as obeying the speed limit, braking gradually, and avoiding sudden stops or tight cornering. To decide if you are comfortable with that level of sharing, read the fine print carefully. Be aware that being deemed a bad driver could increase your rates. Well, folks, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I do hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.